Begin the current daf, Masechtas Megillah daf yud tes. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yemen. The Gemara continues with the halacha. The next Mishnah continue the theme of these parakim regarding the halachas of Kriyas Megillah. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ben Ir, someone who lives in an open city, which we had established in the opening Mishnah of this Masechta, that the timing is the 14th of Adar, Shehalach Lekrach, where he goes to a walled city in the timing of Purim, where they recite the Megillah on the 15th of Adar, or then Krach Shehalach Le'ir, or someone who lives in a walled city, goes to an unwalled city. So says the Mishnah as follows. If he's going to ultimately go back to his hometown, the Gemara is going to explain exactly when and how that is. So then he will recite the Megillah according to the obligational times of his place. So if he's from an open city, he's going to recite on the 14th of Adar. If it's from a walled city, then he's going to recite on the 15th of Adar. Now Vimla, but if he's not going to be going home, back to his place, so then Kariman, then even though he's from a, let's say, an unwalled city, but now that he's in the walled city, he's going to recite the Megillah with them on the 15th of Adar. Another halacha says the Mishnah, Mehechin Kari Odom Es Megillah. From where does a person have to read from the Megillah of Esther? V'yetzeba Yedechabasa, that he can fulfill his obligation of reciting the Megillah on Purim. So Remei Aymer Kule says you have to read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. Behudam, he says, which is from towards the beginning of Perek Beis, where it says, Me'ish Yehudi, where it says that there was a Jewish man in Shushan Abir, his name was Mordechai, Ben Yor, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini. From that pasuk onward, one has to start reading. And B'yeisemer, he says, even later, in the beginning of the third parak, where it says, Ma'achar Advar Ma'elam, after these things happened, that then the king Achashverosh went and took Haman Ben Hamdasa and he raised him to a position of power, that's where one has to start reading from until the end of the Megillah. Now Amar Rava, he qualifies the opening halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that we said that if a person from a walled city goes to an unwalled city, but he's ultimately going to go back home. That then we said, okay, so then he doesn't read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar, although he's there, already there Purim, he's there on the 14th of Adar, but okay, if he's going to go back home on the 15th, he'll be reciting the Megillah in his hometown the next day, then we said that he doesn't have to read the Megillah on the 14th. So Rava qualifies as follows. It says, we didn't learn that. Elisha asid lachzor b'leilu yodalim. Only if he's going back home on the night of the 14th of Adar. In other words, if before Amud HaShachar, before the break of dawn, he's going to be out of the unwalled city, that's what the Mishnah was telling us, that then he does not have to recite the Megillah with them, although he's there the night of Purim, which is the first day, that of the 14th, even though he's still there, since by the daytime he's not going to be there anymore, he's going to be out before daybreak. So then, he's not even called an unwalled city inhabitant of even one day, because he's not going to be there even during the day. Aval ein asid, but this is what Rava says. But if let's say he's not going to ultimately leave there at nighttime, lachzer b'leili arba asir, to go back home on the night of the 14th, where now he's going to be there by daybreak. So he's going to be what's called a paraz la'isayim. He's going to be an unwalled city inhabitant at least for the day of Purim, even though he's going to go back the next day and he'll be able to recite the Megillah at his home on the 15th in the walled city. Still, he's called a paraz, a person from the unwalled city, and Kairi Iman, and he's going to recite the Megillah with them, both on the night of the 14th of Adar and the day of the 14th of Adar. And the same thing is the other way. If let's say someone from an unwalled city goes to a walled city. So if he's going to go back home, because he already celebrated Purim, now he goes to Yerushalayim, he goes to a walled city, and then if he's going to go back home on the night of the 15th, he's not going to be that old during the day of the 15th, then he's not even considered a mukav in the walled city for even one day, because he's not even there during the day at all. So he's going to recite the Megillah on the 14th of Adar according to his obligation, even in the city. This is what Rashi says, that he's going to be considered as the obligations of a person of an unwalled city, albeit being in the walled city, because he's going to go back home before the daytime of the 15th. But if he's not going to go back home during the nighttime of the 15th, then actually he doesn't have to recite the Megillah on the 14th, because even though, he lives in an unwalled city, but today he's in the walled city. So even now on the 14th of Adar, when he's in Yerushalayim, he doesn't have to recite the Megillah. He could wait and recite with them on the 15th. Even though he's going to go right back home after Purim, doesn't make a difference. He's considered a mukav or paraz of that day. Then he actually takes on that status. So as Rashi says, if he's not on his home, he's from some place out of Yerushalayim, and he's in the walled city, on the 14th of Adar, he doesn't have to recite. He's going to do it on the 15th. But if he's going to go home before the daybreak of the 15th, then he has to recite on the 14th because he's not called a paraz, even leben yaymoy, even for that day, he's considered from a regular year, and therefore his obligation is on the 14th of Adar. Amar Rava, he says, where do I know this? that because of that one day, if he's there for the one day of their obligation, for the year on the 14th and the mukav on the 15th, then he's considered like an inhabitant of that city for this halacha. Because the pasuk says in Megillas Esther, Al Kain, therefore, Hayehudim ha-prazim, Hayeshim ba-ori ha-prazis, the Jews that are dispersed, that live in the dispersed cities, meaning the unwalled cities, so they have the obligation on the 14th of Adar. Now, Mechti, let's see. Ksev Hayehudim ha-prazim already says the Jews of the unwalled cities. So, Lamed le-mechtiv Hayeshim ba-ori ha-prazim. Why does it say those that are dwelling in the unwalled cities? This repetitive terminology is coming to tell us that paris ben yaim and nikar paris, that someone is in the unwalled city even just for that day, he's yeshiv bar prazi, he's also going to be considered paris, and therefore he's going to recite it on the 14th of Adar, because right now he's in that city and he takes on that status. Says Gemara Ashkechan paris, so we find the halacha regarding being in an unwalled city to have their obligation of that day. Mukav minolan, how do we know if someone from an unwalled city is in the walled city for that day of the 15th? As we said, even the chiddush that even if he didn't recite on the previous day, he's now on the 14th in Yerushalayim, but he's going to be there on the 15th, he's going to be considered Mukav L'Ben Yomer. He doesn't even have to recite on the 14th. How do we know that? The Pasuk is only telling us this double terminology regarding the Prazim. So it's Gemara Svaru, it's logical. And the Paras Ben Yomer, Kara Paras, from the fact that we see in the Pasuk, that if someone's in an unwalled city, just even for that day, he takes on that status. So Mukav Ben Yomer, Kara Mukav. So the same thing is, a person in the walled city, even just for that day of the 15th, he'll take on that status, and therefore he's going to have the Megillah reading on the 15th of Adar, not the 14th of Adar, even though he's really from an unwalled city, and he's going back right after Purim, but now he takes on that status as he's there then. Now, in related discussion, another teaching from Amar Rava, he says as follows, he says, Ben Kfar, a villager who, as we said in the opening Mishnah of the Masechta, that the Rabbanan allowed him to go ahead and recite the Megillah on the earlier day, what's called the Yom HaKnisa, on the previous Monday or Thursday, but let's say, subsequently, Shehalach Le'ir, he goes to the city, and he's there on the night of the 14th. Says Rava, Benkach, or Benkach, in that situation, in either situation, even if he's going to ultimately go back home to his village before daybreak, Kari Marn, he does have to recite Megillah with them on the night of the 14th. So he says, my time, what's the difference? Why here? What's the reason? Why is it different than what we said by the Mukav, by the person from the Krach, where if he leaves before daybreak, he's not considered Ben Yoimai, and he doesn't have to recite at nighttime. Here, the villager already recited his Megillah on the 13th or the 12th of Adar. Why would he have to do it here if he hears just the night of the 14th? Says the Gemara, because, Hai Kibinei Ha'ir Boi L'Mikri. The truth is that the person from the villager, all prazim, as long as you're not from a walled city, the obligation for the Megillah is that you have to recite on the 14th of Adar, whether you're from a village or from a city. Now, it's the Rabbanu who are lenient regarding the villages, that we allow them to go ahead an earlier date, which there is room to interpret that from the Megillah itself, to go back to the previous Yom HaKnisa. And the reason is, to allow them to prepare food and drink for their brothers in the walled cities. Now, Hanimili, but when did we go, or in the cities itself, because that the people in the city should be able to celebrate Purim, not be busy with getting the things, the villagers will be taking care of them. But Hanimili, when were we leaning on them that they don't have to go back and recite the Megillah on the 14th? That's Kiyisa Beduchte. That's only if he's in his village, so we're not making him go through the Tircha to come back or to go ahead and be involved in their Mikra Megillah if we want him to go ahead and be available to go ahead and give people their food and their drink. But if he's in the city, so he's here anyway, so we're going to require him to read the Megillah in this appropriate time. The whole point is, if he's back home, okay, so now we can make him go come back special, but he's here anyway, so that is his primary obligation, so even if he's leaving, it doesn't make a difference, he'll still have to recite the Megillah here on the night of the 14th. Now, but it's Rabbi asking this halacha from the following braisa. The braisa says, Ben krach shahalach l'ir. If someone who lives in a walled city goes to an unwalled city, either way, he's going to recite the Megillah, not on the 14th, but rather as his hometown is, which is on the 15th of Adar. And that the question is, how do you read this braisa? Because you really entertain to say that the person from the walled city, is going to, no matter what the situation, is not going to recite on the 14th if he's in the unwalled city. But we just explained, b'im asalach zur talya milsa. It depends on if he's going to end up going back home before the morning or not. How can you say either way he's going to recite on the 15th? It's not true. If he stays there to the day of the 14th, he will recite it like the unwalled city, not like his hometown. So Elolav rather says Abaya. Obviously, you have to amend the braisa to say, not a ben krach, but ben kvar. A person from a village. And what's it saying? Kurikim Kaimai. That either way he's going to recite it as his hometown, which is on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, whatever it is, which refutes the Salach of Rava, who said no. That He's going to have to recite on the night of the 14th. Here you see in the Braisa, not like that, that he doesn't have to recite it. He already fulfilled his obligation on the 11th, 12th, 13th of Adar already. Says the Gemara, no. Rava will tell you, Falav Terutza Metartas, didn't you have to amend the Braisa because it didn't make sense the way it was read, Ben Krach? So today, so you mended one more, Kari Imahan. Yeah, it's not talking about Ben Krach, it's talking about Ben Kfar. But it's not saying Ben Kech, Ben Kech, Kari Kimukai Mai. Amended to read Kari Imahan, which is exactly like Rava's halacha. Either way, whether he's going to be there for the morning or not be there for the morning, he will have to recite it with them because, like Rava said, his primary obligation is really in the 14th. Although we allowed him to do it earlier, that's only we're not going to make him come the effort to come back again. But if he happens to be here in the year anyway, then he's going to have to recite the Megillah on the night of the 14th. Now, the second half of the Mishnah said, Mehechen kari adem es Megillah v'chula. So from where does a person have to start reading the Megillah of Esther to fulfill his obligation? So we had one that said from the beginning of the Megillah, one said from Ish Yehudi, one said from Achad Rama Elo. Now, Tanya Linda Breiser, Shim Ben Yechai, I mean, he's the fourth interpretation. He holds the furthest from all of them that one has to start. Where he says, Mibalayla Hahu, which is in the sixth parak of Megillah Esther, that it was on that night that the sleep of the king was disturbed, and he said to bring the book of Chronicles to see, you know, did anyone ever do a miracle from him? Now, Amr B'Yechan, he says, Vekula Mekro Echad Darshu, all these four opinions, three in the Mishnah and this one that we just quoted in the Breisa, they're actually all expounding their positions from the same pasuk. The pasuk says in Megillah Esther, "V'tichtav Esther Malka." It says at the end of Megillah Esther that Esther Malka wrote Mordechai Yehudi together with Mordechai Yehudi as kol taikiv, the whole thrust, which as the pasuk says, "Lekayim esigeres haPurim," to fulfill the scroll of the Purim, which was what they were particular about, what they wanted to portray and convey in the Megillah Esther, was the taikiv, was the thrust. Now, there's the four way machlekes is the taikiv of what? The thrust of what are we talking about? Manda Makula, the one who says that you have to read the whole Megillah of Esther, is Tukva Shel Achashverosh. We wanted to tell you the thrust of the reign of Achashverosh, which it's the beginning of the Megillah that talks about his reign, his party, and he was all over the world, until the end of the Megillah, which talks about him putting taxes on the whole world. So you have to read the whole Megillah. Umadam and Mishihudi, the one that says, no, you only have to start when it starts talking about Mordechai, is Tukvah Shel Mordechai. It's talking about the thrust of Mordechai's ascension to power and what he did regarding to the story. The one who says that it only starts when it talks about after all these things were done, then Gidil HaMelech, that the Achashverosh put Haman into a position of power, was Tukvah Shel Haman, wanted to talk about the thrust of Haman's role. And the one who says only from the last position, Reb Shimon Yechai, from that night when the king's sleep was disturbed, was Tukvah Shel Nes, was the thrust of the miracle. That's when everything started going downhill for Haman, for the Hapachu, and the Jews started having their salvation. Therefore, that's the four machlik, is what exactly was the taikiv that we have to write. Now, Rav Huna Mahacha brings a different source of all these four opinions. From here, where it says that the Megillah has to be written and recited, what was the purpose? What was the utility of it? To notify for future generations, like the Pasuk says in Perek Tes Pasuk Chavav, it says, therefore, recite for the days of this, which is Purim, which is called because of the poor, which is the lottery, for all the purposes of this letter, which says the Pasuk, what's the purpose of this letter of Purim, which is what the Kriyas of Megillah is? It's Umaro. What did they see? In other words, what did they see in that time that they did what they did? And it says, which was Al-Kacha, it was because of this that they did it. Umahagi Aleim, and ultimately, what ended up happening to them because they did it? So there's three parts. What did they see fit to do that? And it explains what it was. And what ended up happening because of what they did? Now, there's four interpretations of who we're and what we're referring to. Manda Makula, the one that says that you have to read the whole Megillah, it's Mara Achashverosh. What did Achashverosh see fit, which started off this whole story, this whole saga, Shenishtamish Bekelim Shel Beis HaMikdash, that he utilized the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash? What is it? Al-Kacha on this. What was his reasoning? I mean, first it's asking, why did they do it? That's step one. Why did Achashverosh use the Kelim? And it was Al-Kacha. What? Mishum Nechash, Mishiv, Mishnin, Bala Yifrik, as we mentioned in previous stuff. He calculated the 70 years that the Jewish people were supposed to be in the exile of Babel, and they were not redeemed yet. So therefore he said, oh, I could celebrate the Jews not being redeemed. Well, Mahagi Alema, what was the consequence of that? The Kotel Vashti. The Vashti was killed. That's the first interpretation. Madam Amish Yehudi, from the one that says from the Jewish man, that of Mordechai, was Mara Mordechai de Kani Haman. So that's the question. What did Mordechai see fit that he created envy in Haman? What did he see fit to start confronting Haman? Was Al-Kacha, was on this, which was the Shavei Nafshei by Dezar, because Haman made himself into an idol, and he said, I'm not going to bow down to him. What was the consequence? This Rachashni, so that ultimately caused the miracle that he stood up against Haman the Rasha and ultimately had the salvation for the Jewish people. The other interpretation, from after these things that Achashverosh went and promoted Haman, which was which starts talking about Haman being upset and wanting to kill out the whole Jewish people, was what did he see fit that he was envious and to take revenge on the whole Jewish people? Which was al kacha on this, which was mishum de Mordechai lo yichibli yishlachva, because Mordechai didn't kneel and didn't bow down to him. Umagiyalim, what was the consequence of him trying to take down the Jewish people? Vesalu oisav esbanav al eitz, that they hung him and his sons on the wood. Umadama mevleilahu, according to the fourth opinion, where it says from that night when the king couldn't sleep, which was ma'ruach hashverish lehivya sefer hazachreinus. That's when it says he took out the Book of Chronicles. The question that's being asked Maro is, and this is what, the primary point of the Megillah is, what do they see fit? What did he see fit to bring out the Book of Chronicles? Was al-kocha on this, which was, dizimnisei Esther l'Haman ba'day, because as we explained in the previous daf, Esther is inviting Haman with a party with him, wanted to know what's going on, was there ever someone that ever tried saving him? U'mahagilim, what ultimately happened because he did this, was this Rachash Nisa, caused a miracle, because then he said I have to reward Mordechai, and then Haman came, and he says, okay, you Haman, do this for Mordechai. Ultimately, it was the beginning of the downfall of Haman and the salvation of the Jewish people with Mordechai. Now, Amar B'chelba, Amar B'chama B'aguri, Amar Rav, he says, Halacha Kedivri Oymer Kula. Halacha follows like the opinion who says that one has to read the whole Megillah of Esther to fulfill their obligation. Now, he says, V'afilam Andam and Mishyehudi, even according to the other opinion, says you don't have to read the whole thing, you could even start from Mishyehudi, but Srichishte Kesuva Kula, but all of it has to be written. You could read, not all of it, but all of it has to be written to be considered a Megillah, to then read whatever is obligated to be read. Now, another teaching from Amar B'chelba, Amar B'chama B'aguri, Amar Rav, on this topic of Megillah Esther, Megillah Nikra Sefer, the Megillah is called a Sefer, as it says in the Pasuk of Megillah Sefer, V'nichtav Bas Sefer, but at the same time, Nikra Sigeris, it's also called the Igeris Apurim, a letter. Why? So the Gemara explains. On the one hand, Nikra Sefer, which is a more obligatory terminology, that like a Sefer Torah, She'im Tavara B'chutei Pishtun P'sula, to say that if one would stitches the parchment with threads of linen, it's invalid. Because as there is such an opinion, Masechtas Makos of Yerav Manaf, that a Sefer Torah that was stitched with linen is invalid. So we're calling the Megillah as a Sefer to say it has that same stringency. But at the same time, a Nikra Sigeris is called a letter to say it's not as stringent as a Sefer Torah. Shem Hitl Bashleisha Chute Gidin Kesher, that if one stitches only three threads of sinews, which is from an animal, which that is valid for a Sefer Torah, but if you're only doing even just three, that's going to be valid. In other words, unlike a Sefer Torah, which you have to stitch the whole thing, here if you do just three stitching in the Megillah, that's going to be valid. Now, Amrav Nachman, the qualifies of Bavachi Mishalashim, but as long as it's in thirds, which is that from the top of the scroll until the place where you do the first stitch, and from there till the second one, and from the second one to the third one to the end of the Sefer, they have to be equidistant to be considered valid for the stitching of the Megillah. Now, Amrav Yehuda Meshmuel, he says, Hakar b'Megillah haksuva b'naksuv. Someone recites the Megillah, where this is related to the concept about being called an igeres, has to be a special letter. So if someone is reading the Megillah from writings that are amongst all the other writings of the Ksuvim, where this Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, the Megillah of Esther is from the Chamish Megillus. So in the days of the sages, their Svarim were written in scrolls, like our Sefer Torah. So if someone reads from the Megillah of Esther amongst all the other Megillahs and Ksuvim, Layatza, he has not fulfilled his obligation, because again, it has to be its own scroll, which that publicizes the miracle more. Because if he's reading it amongst just like the Tanakh, so it looks like he's just reciting Pesukim in general, like learning, but it's not publicizing that this is a special letter that one has. So it can't be amongst all the other Sfarim together. Now, but Amarava, he says, Le'mon, we didn't say that it's a problem, El Dele Mechasu Meyatri Purcha, only if it's not a little bit longer or shorter. Of Mechasu Meyatri Purcha, but if let's say, the part of the scroll, which is attached to all the other ksavim, that in one big like sefer, if the scroll of Esther is a little bit longer than the other parchments, either on the bottom or on the top, or a little bit shorter, so it's recognizable on its own, then less lambada, that doesn't bother us, even though it's attached to all the other svarim. As long as you could tell that it's different, that would still differentiate it and tell us that it's its own thing, and therefore one would fulfill their obligation as in the Geras HaPurim for the Griah of the Megillah. Now, the Gemara tells us that Levi Bar Shmuel have a kokari kamed Rav Yehuda. He was reciting the Megillah in front of Rav Yehuda. The Megillah, where the scroll is a continuum at base, haksuvah ben haksuvah, that was written amongst all the other ksavim. Now, of the writings of Tanakh. On that Amalei, he says, Harei Amr, they said, hakari ben Megillah haksuvah ben haksuvah, Layatze, he says, no, one does not fulfill his obligation that way. It has to be a separate scroll. So to Amr B'chibar Abba Amr B'yechanan. It says, if one reads the Megillah of Esther amongst all the other Megillahs and Ksavim, one does not fulfill the obligation. But, meaning after he said this teaching, he, quote, hit it on its head. In other words, he demolished this concept a little bit by saying that B'tzibur shanu, this as a problem only when one is reciting Megillah in public. But in private, we don't have that problem, even though it's Ksavim Bein HaKsuvim, and that it doesn't have to be its own. Another teaching from Amr B'chibar Abba Amr B'yechanan says, Shir HaTfar, this that when one is stitching the parchments of a Sefer Torah to connect them all together, which is one big Sefer Torah, so you have to leave over a little bit from the stitching on the top of the scroll and on the bottom. So this halacha of Shir HaTfar, leaving over from the stitching, halacha al-Moshe Messina. But, U'mocho la'amoicha, here we use the same terminology, that he hits it on its head, after he said this teaching, he hit it on its head by saying, actually, it's not true. It's not halacha al-Moshe Messina. It actually was an enactment of the sages. Because Vilei Omer didn't say this, Elikadish lo yikara, only that it shouldn't tear. Meaning, if you're not going to leave over from the stitching, that there's no stitching on the top and the bottom. So when one is doing galilas, one is tightening it together, so then it might tear. But now when they're tightening it together very strongly, and it's starting to expand, and it wants to tear, so you see it expanding because it's not stitched around the top, so it's not going to tear, it has what's a little give, so he's going to stop from tightening it anymore, so that's a rabbinic enactment. He hit on its head by saying, no, it's not really halacha al-Moshe Messina. It actually was a rabbinic enactment. Another teaching from Amr B'chir Barabba Amr B'yichnan says, El Mole Nishtair, again, the same idea of leaving over, had it not been that there was left over a little bit in the cave where Moshe was standing, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed by in front of him, like the Pasuk says in Shmos Lamagimel, Hashem says, I'll place you into the crack of the rock, which is that, and the Divine Presence was going to pass by in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says that if there was a little bit more space left over in that cave that Moshe was standing, and so too Veliyo, who he was also in that same cave, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed by in front of him, like it says in the Pasuk, Melachim Aleph, yeah, he came to the Ma'ara, and he says, go out, and Hashem's going to pass by in front of you. If there was left over so much as Kamalei Nekev Machat Sitkis, like the whole of a needle, which is a very thin needle, which is like the ones that we have, which one stitches garments with. In contrast, let's say there are certain needles that are thicker, which they use to stitch sackcloths. So here we're talking about that very thin needle hole. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was passing over, like it says in Shemesh Lama Gimel V'Sakrisi Kapi Alech Adavi, he says, I'm going to put my palm on you until I pass by that you don't see. Had it been even a crack the size of a needle hole, they would not have been able to survive because of the great light. No man can see me and live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make sure that there was no gap that was big that allowed even a crack in, because then they wouldn't have survived because of the great light of the Divine Presence. Another teaching from Amr B'chir Bar Abba Amr B'yechanan says, "What does it mean the pasuk in Devarim that says Valeim and on the luchos and on the tablets, Kachal Hadvarim Asher Dibra Hashem Mimachem Bahar is like all the words that Hashem, your God, spoke to you on the mountain." Now, the Aseres Hadibros was the only 10 commandments. How could it say everything that he spoke to him on the mountain, which was actually all of the Torah, that was on the luchos? So that's what he says. Malamet Sheher Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe has come to teach us. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu Dikduke Torah, all the precision of the nuances of the Torah, meaning all the times it says the word S and Gam, which are ribuyin, which are adding on concepts, whenever you have an Ach and a Rak, which are exclusionary terminologies, Vidikduke Seif, and all the precision of the later scribes, who they are Medayik and they infer from the words of the earlier sages, Umasha Seif Masin Machadish, and all that the scribes, the Talmid Chacham, were ultimately going to create as a new halacha. Ma'ini, what's that? As we said previously, that's Mikra Megillah, which was the one thing, the one exception that the Nevi'im made, even though they never were Mechadish anything that wasn't written in the Torah, which they're citing in Megillah and Purim, that all of that was alluded to Moshe Rabbeinu on the Aseres Hadibros, on the Luchos, and all of that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu there by Har Sinai. Now, we continue with the next Mishnah, continuing on the Halachas of Kriyas Megillah. Says the Mishnah, Kol Kasher and Likra, says the Megillah. Everyone is valid to go ahead and recite the Megillah. Chutz, Micharish, except for a deaf person. Shaita, mentally deranged. Vakat, and a minor. Now, Behuda Machsh, because Behuda says actually that a minor is valid to recite the Megillah. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, Cherish, Dieved, Namatloi. Who is the Tana of a Mishnah that says that if someone's deaf, that even after the fact, it's not going to be a valid reciting of the Megillah? So Amrav Masna says, Rabbi Yisi, where do we find this? It's not like we learn the Mishnah Maseftes Brachas. If someone's reciting the Shema and he doesn't hear with his ear what he's saying, like someone who can't, which is this deaf person, so the Tanakhama says, Yatza, so fulfilled his obligation. He says, no, he's not fulfilled his obligation, and that terminology is a di'evit terminology, meaning even after the fact, it's not valid. So that's the halacha of a Mishnah who says that a cheresh is not valid to recite the Megillah. On this, the Gemara asked, where do you know that when our Mishnah says, chutz mi cheresh, that cheresh is an exception of who could recite Megillah, that means even after the fact, that even di'evit is not going to be valid, and therefore you're saying, it's going like Rabbi Yisi of this Mishnah Brachas, who says that you always have to hear what you're saying, and even after the fact, it's not going to be valid. Dilma Rabbi Yehudahi, maybe the Tanakh of a Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Or the Ketchilahu Delay. And it's only initially that the Mishnah is saying that initially a deaf person is not valid. And on that you could say that Halacha of a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that, because as I'm going to shortly quote, he only disagrees regarding Bidiyevid, only regarding after the fact, like the Tanakhama of the Mishnah Brachas that we just said. Which is he's saying, Hadiyevid Shaper Dami. He says, after the fact, if you didn't hear what you said in Shema, so he says Yatza. That's a Bidiyevit terminology. But maybe he agrees that like a Tchila, yeah, you're supposed to have someone that could hear. So the Cheresh in our Mishnah, maybe he's like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yisi. It's saying, except from a Cheresh, that initially he should not be the one that recites the Megillah. But maybe Bidiyevit, it is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that you would be Yatza. How are you knowing that it means even Bidiyevit not, and therefore it must be like Rabbi Yisi? So Zigman, no loisaka dayta. He can't entertain to say that the Mishnah is like a Behuda. Because Zigtani, Cheresh, Dumi, the Shait of a Katan. There's three cases that we're excluding the halach of a Mishnah of who cannot recite the Megillah. We have the deaf person, and similar to the one who's mentally deranged, and the minor. Now, Ma Shait of a Katan, Diyavan Namaloi, just like the Shait and the Katan, even after the fact, is not valid because they don't even have Das, they don't have intelligence, they're not people that are Mechuiv in the mitzvahs to be able to fulfill it. So obviously, even after the fact, it's not valid. Av cheresh di'evid namaloi. So also, the deaf person we're talking about, that even after the fact, it's also not going to work. So therefore, it must be like Rabbi Yisi, not like Rabbi Yehuda. It says the Gemara, v'dilma ha'kadisa v'ha'kadisa. How do you know? Maybe they're not the same. Maybe yes, shait v'katan is even b'di'evid not, but maybe cheresh is only k'tchila not. Says the Gemara, no. Menigtani, say from the fact that the end of the Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda machshav v'katan. The Tanakhama says, Katan is not valid. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Katan is valid to recite the Megillah. So, Mechalal de Reisha, Lav Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, if Rabbi Yehuda is disputing the Tanakhama, obviously the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't say that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and it's only saying that like a Tchil and not, but you have it, yes, if the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Yehuda. But says the Gemara, no, Vidima Kul Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's not going to contradict himself in regards to the laws of Cheresh. To which the Gemara says, Midame, how could the... Okay, let's say, like sometimes we say, Chesur Mechser, it's all Rabbi Yehuda. But how could you say that it's all Rabbi Yehuda, but Reisha Lepesula, the Reisha, the Mishnah says, that a minor is not valid. Veseva Lechshera. And then the Mishnah says, it is valid. So obviously, you can't say that the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rashi says, actually, not to have the girsa of what we just said. He says it's superfluous, because it's obvious from the Gemara's continuation that we should delete this question and answer. And the Gemara should really be saying, V'dilma kul Rabbi Yehudi, and V'trei gavni katan, and that there's two types of minors, as the Gemara actually continues to ask. V'dilma kul Rabbi Yehudi, says the Mishnah, no. It's not a contradiction. Maybe, as we had explained what the question was, maybe the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehudi. V'trei gavni katan katani la, and Rabbi Yehuda, who he's the one Tana that's being mentioned in the Mishnah, is talking about two different types of minors. So it's not a contradiction, and then we could still maintain, as our previous question, that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and this that it says chutz micheresh, distinct from shayit v'katan, is only ketchila prab. Because for chesur mechser, there's words missing in the Mishnah. V'achik tan, this is what the Mishnah is supposed to say. Hakol kashayin likra says a Megillah. Everyone is valid to recite the Megillah. Chutz micheresh shayit v'katan, except for a deaf person, and the mentally deranged, and the minor. And again, cheresh would be only ketchila not, but shayit v'katan would be even b'dievin not. And that the Mishnah is qualifying b'medrim, and when we say this, that a katan is not going to be valid, but katan shalegi l'chinuch, a minor who did not reach even the age of a chinuch of being inaugurated for the laws of mitzvahs, like the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Pei Beis Manav, if he's 9 years old or 10 years old, there's a certain age when he has to start fulfilling the mitzvahs. If he didn't even reach that age yet, he's not valid, even with the Eved, to go ahead and recite the Megillah. Av b'katan shalegi l'chinuch, afilik etchila, but if he's reached the age of chinuch, then even initially he could recite the Megillah. And this is what the Mishnah continues by saying, and it's all the same opinion, Sher Reb Yehuda Machshav Katan, because Reb Yehuda says it's valid with a minor, and he's the Tana of a Mishnah. So therefore, the Gemara is still with that question, how do you know the Mishnah is Reb Yisi, and even B'diyevet not, maybe it's Reb Yehuda, and it's only Ketchila, a Cheresh is not. And what do you mean, doesn't Reb Yehuda disagree? No, it's all Reb Yehuda, but doesn't he say Katan is valid, and the Tana Kama says it's not? No, it's all Reb Yehuda, and he's saying two types of Katan. In the beginning, he's saying katan shaloh higi lechinuch is not valid. At the same, he's saying katan higi lechinuch is valid even like a tchila. So the Gemara, however, asks on this and says, okay, but my kimta, so what do you want to say the halacha of the Mishnah? It's Rebbe Yehuda. And you're telling us that when Rebbe Yehuda says in the laws of Kriya Shema, that if you don't hear what you're saying, you fulfill the obligation, you're saying that v'diyevet, that he's saying only after the fact and not initially. And therefore, you want to say he could be the Tana of the Mishnah. Says, yes, if you don't hear, like a Cheresh, initially you're not allowed to recite the Megillah. But B'diyevet, yes, like he says, B'Kriya Shema. But then says the Gemara, and we only have two opinions that we know of, which is Rabbi Yisi and the Tana Kama of Masechet Brachos, which is Rabbi Yehuda, which we're in the middle of qualifying exactly what exactly are their opinions. At this point, we want to say, Rabbi Yisi says that you never Yaitse even B'diyevet. Rabbi Yehuda says, you Yaitse B'diyevet, but Ketchila not. And therefore, we want to say the Tana of the Mishnah could be like it. But Elohad, the Tana Yehuda, Bered Reb Shimon ben Pasi, he learns the following brisa. Says, Cheresh Hamadabe Ve'ena Shemea. A deaf person that could speak, which is the case that we're talking about, he's not someone that doesn't have das, he could speak, but Ve'ena Shemea, he just doesn't hear. He just has this invalidation of Le'ishmila Aznai. So the halacha is, Tarim Le'ketchila. Initially, he could go ahead and separate Trumas from his untithed produce. Now, what's inherent in that halacha is, even though he has to make a bracha, and his ears are not going to hear the bracha that he's saying, but still, he's allowed to go ahead and take off Trumah Ketchil. Says the Gemara, Mani, who's the Tana of this braisa that Yehuda Bered B'Shem Pazi is quoting? E, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, but you just said, D'yevet in L'Ketchil Alay. You said that even Rabbi Yehuda, who's the one that says it's valid if you don't hear, he doesn't hold initially term L'Ketchil, you're making a bracha. Anything you're saying, you have to be able to hear. He says only after the fact, but not L'Ketchil. And Reb Yisi, and if you would think it's the other dispute in Reb Yisi, D'yevet Namila, he holds actually even after the fact it's not valid if you can't hear. So who's this price going like? So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So Ve'elamaisa, what do you have to say? That Reb Yehuda, the Tana of this price is like Reb Yehuda, who he says in the laws of Kriya Shema, that if you didn't hear what you said, you fulfilled the obligation, you obviously have to say that he holds Afil L'Ketchila, that that's even initially. And therefore, that's who this price of Yehuda Reb Shimon ben Pazi is going like, because it's gone like a Yehuda holds, yeah, even like a Tchila, you don't have to hear what you're saying. Now, why was his machlekes in the Mishnah Masechtas Brachas only talking about Yatza, like it's a B'dievet terminology? That was to tell you the strength of his dispute in the Rabbi Yisi, to say that even after the fact, you're not going to be Yatza. But according to Yehuda himself, even like a Tchila, you're going to be Yatza. You don't have to hear the words you're saying by Kriya Shema, and therefore here by Hafrash Truma, the Bracha that you're saying, you can be termed even like a Tchila. So, and therefore, obviously, they were saying the halacha of our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. It must be like Rabbi Yisi. Because our Mishnah is saying, at least like a tchila, cheresh not going to be valid. And he'll, no, like a tchila, you don't have to hear it. But Elohad, the time, but then the Gemara asks, what do you do with the following braisa? The braisa says, lo yavarch adam birchas amazin baliba. A person cannot make the birchas amazin, the grace after meals, benching in his heart. You have to hear, you have to enunciate the words. Now, vimberich, if he did make the bracha like that he didn't hear what he said, so after the fact, okay, Yatzis fulfilled his obligation. Says the Gemara, Mani, who's this price like? Lo Reb Yehuda, v'lo Reb Yisi. Why? Reb Yehuda, everything is like Reb Yehuda. But you just pointed out, because you had to say who's the price of Reb Yehuda, Bered B'Shem Ben Pazi, that if you look at Chila, he says, even initially you fulfilled your obligation. Here this price is saying, no, initially not. After the fact, yes. That's not like Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yisi, I feel the Eben Namalai. And if it's like Reb Yisi, what do we hold even after the fact, it's not valid. Who is this Bryce that's saying, like a Tchilalai, but the Eben, yeah. You just pointed out, Reb Yisi holds even the Eben not. And you said Reb Yehuda, even like a Tchilalai, yes. So the Gemara continues the time of Chafam and Alfa and says as follows. La'olam Reb Yehuda v'afil like a Tchilalai. Truth is, as we were just saying before, that the halacha of Reb Yehuda is, even initially he says it's going to be valid. Which that's how we explained the Mishnah Masechtas Brachas regarding Kriya Shema, and also how we said for the Braisa Reb Yehuda B'Shem Ben Pazi regarding being Mafrit Shuma, there's even like a Tchila, and that's going like a Yehuda. And therefore, we said the halacha of our Mishnah that says that a Cheresh by the reading of Megillah is not going to be valid, that must be like a B'Yisi, and that the halacha of our Mishnah is saying even B'Di Ebed is not going to be valid. Similar like the case of Shaita B'Kat. But v'loy kasha. Now we don't have a difficulty. We said, so if that's the case, what do we do with this last price we just quoted? Who's the one that says by birchas hamazon that liketchila not, but b'di'evad yes? Again, Rabbi Yisi holds even b'di'evad not, and Yehuda holds even liketchila yes. So I think that's not difficult. Because this that we established that you could be mafrid shuma even like a tchila is the day, is Yehuda himself, which we're saying, yes, he holds even like a tchila, you don't have to hear what you're saying. This last brace that we quoted, a birchas hamazon, that we said that like a tchila, you can't do it, but b'di'evad yes, is the rabbi, is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his teacher, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who, as we're going to shortly quote, says, Shetzarech Lashmia, which that terminology sounds like, okay, you need to, which is Likatchila, but b'di'evid, you will fulfill the obligation if you don't hear. The time, like we learned the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Oymen Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, not his own teaching, in the name of his teacher, Hakayre Shema, if someone's reciting the Shema, Tzarech Sheshmi Lasnai. He has to, which again sounds like an initial terminology, you have to hear what you're saying, you have to hear it in your ears. Shem, like it says in the Pasuk. We're talking about Shema. What's the Pasuk of Shema? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Which is, Hashem la'aznecha, Masha'atem, Oysim epicha. Hear with your ears, it says Shema, what you're saying from your mouth. So that's like his teacher who says the Gatchila, but the Eved, yes, and that's what the last Braisa was like. Ramei Armer, once we quoted the Braisa, he says, no, it says in Shema, Asher Aneichim Mitzav Chayim Alo Vecha, that which I commanded you today on your heart. Which he says, Achar Kavanas Alev Heinan Advarim. No, the primary is your intention of your heart. That is, you don't have to hear with the ears. It's primarily what's going on inside of you. So, therefore, he says, you don't have to hear it. Now, says the Gemara, well, Hashtud Os La'achi. Actually, now that we quoted this Braisa, which we wanted to tell you, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to explain who is the previous Braisa like. But once we did that, we also quoted to you this opinion of Remeir. So, says the Gemara, actually, now we could go back and explain that Afilatame Rabbi Yehuda. We could even say that the Halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, who he says that by Kriya Shema, that you're Yaitzeh if you don't hear what you're saying, is Karabi Svirle. Actually holds like his teacher that we just quoted in the name of Elazar ben Azariah, that actually, b'di'evid, yes, you're Yaitzeh, but like a tchila not. And therefore we could say the Halacha of our Mishnah that says that a Cheresh is not valid is like Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Mishnah is saying, unlike Chashayt HaBakatan, it's only Ketchila that is not going to be valid. Which again, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds like his teacher. And this halacha by Birchas Hamazon that we quoted, that like Ketchila, you need to be able to hear, but the Yevah not, is also like a Yehuda. But then the question is, so then Behod, the Tani Yehuda Bereid B'Shem Ben Pazi, what do we do with his Braisa that he says that, yes, if someone doesn't hear what he's saying, a Cheresh, they're even like Ketchila, could be Mafrid Shuma, who's that like? It's not like a Yehuda, and it's not like a Yehisi, because Rabbi Yehisi says, even the Yevah not. And Yehuda says, only be the Eved, yes, but like a tchila not. And there you're saying by Mafresh Truma, when you have to make a bracha, even like a tchila, you don't have to hear what you're saying. That is Remeirhi, who, as we're quoting now, regarding the halacha of Shema, he says that it's kasha, even like a tchila, you don't have to hear, it's Allah Vavach, it's primarily what you're going on side, not to hear it, but with your ears. Therefore, that price is going to be like him, and therefore we go back, and therefore it's not necessarily the halacha of a Mishnah, like Reb Yisi, and that when we say Chutz Mecheresh, as even be the Eved not, could be it's like a Yehuda, who is saying it's like his teacher, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, that says that only b'di'evid it's going to be valid. But like a tchila not, just like by Kriya Shema, so too by the halacha of Mikra Megillah, we say a cheresh is not valid. But again, that would only be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, like a tchila, but b'di'evid, a cheresh would be yetzah, unlike the case of Shaita B'Kadim.